You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Honest AF Show with me, Daniela Clark.
And me, Barbara Ann Wild.
And the laughing has already started prior to our mics being on, so sorry, folks, but there's some hilarity already because... Oh my God, this is so crazy. Today we have my girlfriend who, not chronologically, but is my oldest friend, but not chronologically, but friendship-wise. Yeah, Max?
So, isn't it chronologically?
Maybe it is.
Because we've known each other since we were 10.
Yeah.
We met on the first day of sixth grade.
Yes.
So cute.
So I think... Unless you have another
you
friend,
are, you are
older
my
than
oldest
I am,
friend.
That you've been like hiding from me. I don't know.
No, I haven't. So my girlfriend Maggie Sepkowitz, welcome,
oh,
Maggie.
Thank you.
Hello,
hi.
Maggie.
Oh, hi, Barbara. Hi, Daniela. I'm so excited to be here.
It's so
You're
fun.
So happy
it's
to
so
have
funny.
You.
So Maggie and I met when we were in sixth grade.
Right.
Maggie remembers better than I do, but we met in sixth grade on our first day of sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
and we became really good friends from that point on. And I think people thought of us as like bookends because I would have one ponytail on the side, on one side of my head, and she had a ponytail on the other side.
That's so cute, the side ponytails, that's right.
We were definitely hip at the time.
So hip. Not really. But Maggie and I have known each other all this time, and we've been through it all together. My God,
mm-hmm.
like it's so crazy. Maggie was in the room when Frankie was born. Maggie
right.
was my one of my bridesmaids at my wedding. I was one of her bridesmaids at her wedding. Frankie That's was right. a flower girl at her wedding.
Aww.
That's right. She didn't manage to make it down the aisle, but she was right there.
Yeah.
She had all good intentions, yeah. that girl.
She did. She got stage fright, didn't she?
Well, of course we blame Aww. It on Auntie Shira.
Yeah,
okay.
my sister.
Because I have it on video.
Yeah. My sister, right as Frankie was about to walk down the aisle, my sister just lets out this shriek. Like
oh my God, she was so excited.
And yes. it scared freaked Frankie out. And yes. so Frankie just stood there trembling and bawling.
Oh,
I know.
Baby.
Hindsight's always 20/20 because I realized what we did was that we closed the door before I came out. Like she was just before me.
Oh, so
and
right.
so we wanted to make
herself.
This dramatic entrance and we thought, oh, she'll go by herself. But what we should have done was just have me follow right behind her. And I think she probably would have done it.
Yeah.
Despite Shira's
How
excitement.
Old was she?
She was three.
Yeah. Aww,
she was peanut. Three. She was the yeah. cutest
She's a
thing.
Little cancer. So she had to go hide in her shell for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Gilby ran and got her.
Sweet.
It was so funny. And then Maggie was in Europe when Frankie was about to turn one.
That's right.
Maggie was traveling throughout Europe and Gilby was on tour at the time
mm-hmm.
with Slash's Snake Pit.
That's right.
And so Maggie and I got to hang out in Europe together as well with Frankie as a baby.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
And can I tell the story of you and Matt?
Okay.
Just briefly.
You can tell the story of Matt
okay.
and I.
Because it's another one of my kind of successful matchmaking, sort of. So she was
sort of.
She was in Europe, and at the time she was traveling with her then friend, Matt.
Oh.
They were just friends, and they were traveling through Europe together, and they came to Gilby's show one night. And they're standing backstage and she's holding Maggie and I mean, she's holding Frankie. Frankie's one at this time. And I look over and I see the way her friend, Matt, is looking at her. And I said to her, I go, hey, what about your friend, Matt? Why aren't you guys, you know, hanging out? Why don't you guys hook up? She goes, oh, no. He's just my friend. And I go, uh-uh. He's in love with you. I can see it.
That's so funny.
And she yeah. said to me, no, he's not.
That's what my
no.
English teacher did to me with Zach.
Yeah.
Really?
For real. Yeah.
Isn't wow. that funny?
It
and I
something.
Was just like, I go, Maggie, he's totally in love with you. And she goes, no. We're just friends. And I go, uh-uh. He's in love with you. Well, she married him. So.
Yes.
And
20...
I love him. Yes. I think your husband
oh,
is.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's the sweetest human.
He is
one of the best human beings I know. Absolutely. And we've been married now for 23 years, coming up on 24.
Amazing.
And so it really is a funny story. I know. He always had it in the back of his mind. I really thought we were going to hook up there and it just didn't happen. And even when my mom met him, she's like, why aren't you dating him? Like, out of all the boyfriends I bring home, and you know, you're like, well, you're not going to marry him, are you? Okay. Until she met Matt. That's the one you should be with.
Aww. Yeah. Well, he's a great guy. And it was so funny, too, because when you got home from your trip to Europe, you were still kind of like dating other guys and doing other things. And then you said to me, yeah, Matt's thinking about asking this other girl out or something. I'm like, Maggie? Stop right now. Stop immediately. You're going to lose this guy. Mm-hmm. He is the greatest guy. I think you need to just go for it and give it a chance because you're going to lose him to someone else if you don't do it right now.
That's the truth.
Wisdom of Daniela. We have to listen to Daniela.
And it was total like,
all knowing.
It was total middle school too, because at the time my roommate, we all worked at the same school. So Matt and I met at the country school.
Matt's a teacher.
I was a teacher at the time. We met as preschool teachers, and you don't often meet many men who are preschool teachers. So it was just this nurturing side that was outstanding. But at the time my roommate, you know, because he had already asked me out, truth be told. He had asked me out before, and I said no.
He was crazy about
I wasn't
her.
Into it. Well, because previously, I had dated someone I worked with. And then when I first met Matt, I was totally heartbroken because he dumped me just before that school year started.
Oh,
so I swore off anybody. I'm never going to date someone I work with. You know, I mean, there's kind of like a rule of thumb around that,
yes,
you know?
Yes, totally.
And I was like, no, I can't date anyone I work with. And then, long story short, my roommate at the time went up to him after all that had happened. And she said, Matt, someone at this school likes you. And he's like, what? And he literally listed all the, because mostly preschool teachers are female. He was the only male preschool teacher. So he went through the list and then the very last name, well, it's not Maggie. And she's like, yeah, I think if you ask her out again, you'll get a different answer.
So funny.
And literally he came up to me that afternoon. I was doing after school care. He came up, followed her advice, and then we went on our first date.
That's amazing. Yeah,
that weekend.
That was it.
That was it.
Yeah. It was great. I was so excited. I was like, yes, finally. This is going to happen. I know it.
Yes.
It's so wild too, because like Maggie and I, when we were growing up, I always felt like I was maybe the wilder one. Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was a little bit more out there than you. And
yes, I was definitely much more cautious.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I loved about Daniela. And so
live vicariously through her, right?
Yeah. And then I think we kind of balanced each other out because then we'd talk about things and she'd come to me and we'd talk, you know, so I'd be like the voice of reason maybe on one shoulder and then she'd have another one on the other shoulder and we're like, okay, let's just see who's right in this situation.
I think one of the things that's so interesting about Daniela is that I think when you look at her and if you don't know her, people think she's going to be like this wild rocker chick.
It's
and
true.
She's so together, honestly, and you're much more, I wouldn't say conservative, but you're much more, you're a good girl. And I don't think people would realize
I'm
about
I'm straight
you.
Edge.
But,
by
looking at
that's
you,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
I think that your package is a little different than who you are.
Yeah, I was going to say she definitely knows when to be cautious. And she's always had that just intrinsic piece about her.
Wait, it's...
Being able to read situations and kind of really quickly... put together what you needed to do. You were always that way. I always admired that.
Oh, thank you, Mag.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember like thinking, you know, at that time, like Maggie and I, we're going to be like Laverne and Shirley. Yep. We're going to like live together.
We were convinced we were going to get married at the same time and have kids at the same time. Meanwhile, Frankie's what now?
27.
And my son is 12.
Yeah.
hence those timelines did not match up.
It took Matt a little longer to get there. So,
it took us a little longer to catch up with that. But
But what I've always really admired about Mags is her constant need to be of service and help others. And so, Maggie, you started out as a preschool teacher.
Right, yeah.
And then you ended up getting into social work.
That's right. I had always thought when I met Matt, when we were preschool teachers, I was already starting a credential program. So I thought I was going to become an elementary school teacher.
Okay.
And I started that program. And then I did a little student teaching. And I was like, you know, when you just know that something just doesn't feel right.
Right.
Not that I didn't love the children, but I was like, no, this is not, it's not right. So I stayed with preschool for a little bit longer because I love the, you know, the 2 to 4 age
kids.
Is one of my absolute magical times of any child's
life.
Right. They just see the world as just endless and magical. And I loved every bit of that energy.
Agreed. 100%.
Right. It's something. And then I just thought for a while and just imagined what else could I do that really fit. Because I think you're right, Daniela. My mom was of service most of her life with the elderly.
Oh, wow.
And so she worked at the Jewish Home for the Aging here
Maggie
in the Valley for years.
Maggie and I used to go
years.
Volunteer there when we were kids.
My mom had us all volunteer. I used to feed the residents who couldn't feed themselves. And so she made sure my
We'd
brother and sister
nails.
And I all volunteered. Yes.
We'd paint their nails. That. We would just go visit them because what's sad is that a lot of people, when they get older, are just put in these homes and left there. And no one comes to see them. So we used to go and visit and hang out with them. Remember, we used to paint their nails. We would like
put on music and, you know, do the holidays around the, you know, some of the Jewish holidays.
It's still such a great thing to do if you can volunteer. And
it is something. Volunteering is really something. When you give to others, it really does feel different.
100%. It comes back to you.
It really does. My son, who was in the Cub Scouts when he was younger, we did this whole thing at a shelter. And we served dinner. And he watched all the people coming in who just needed shelter for the night, a hot meal. And I remember distinctly when we were driving, he goes, Mom, that really felt good. Like, I felt good. I was like, that's a great feeling. Never forget that feeling. Because it's always important to help others.
Yeah.
And so social work, I went to a few different kind of open houses at colleges, things like that. And because I thought psychology, social work, you know, it's kind of like the crossroads where most people go.
Right.
And social work just felt like just more encompassing for me. So it was a broader kind of education, macro kind of policy systems, as well as individual training. So I felt that was the best of both worlds and just had different opportunities. So I went back, got my master's, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker. The greatest thing about that is that I provide mental health services as well. So there's so many opportunities within that field.
Yeah.
But a lot of my career was at Children's Hospital.
Children's Hospital, which was medical social work. Oh my gosh. The work that you have been doing for the past, I don't know, 20 years or so?
Over 21 years now.
Yeah.
I started off with pediatric HIV.
Wow.
That was a clinic that was specific to children whose mother had HIV and they got it through born with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really amazing and just life-altering experience.
I can't even.
For
That must be incredible.
Yeah. The work that you've been doing is just... it's just been commendable because it takes a special kind of person to be able to do that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And you do. What's really interesting though to me is how after 21 years or so of doing that, what I found so brave was when you decided that you were going to, at this point in your life, in this stature.
That's Daniela's coin phrase.
At this point in your life, you decided that you would like to make a change for yourself.
That's right.
And I think that it's such a brave thing to do because, you know, I went through that too. And it's so hard sometimes, like when you get kind of used to doing things a certain way and you get used to your routine and you get used to, this is what I do. And how do you come to a point later on in your life where you take a chance and you say, okay, you know what? I think I've done this long enough. I've done my best. And now I want to kind of try something new because I want to take a chance and I want to do something I've never done before, or I want to do something different,
Right.
And I just want to try.
You know, just want to try. That's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
I just want to give it a shot and see what happens.
That's
because
right.
at this point in your life, most of the time, you're discouraged. You kind of settle for what you got and you kind of go, well, this is it. This is what I did and this is what I do and that's that. But to find the courage and, you know, the guts to really change things.
And to step outside of your and comfort zone.
Yeah. It was a big deal. Well, I remember.
Because Maggie decided, if I can say this for you, Maggie decided to take a chance. And in the middle of like everything that's been going on, like with the pandemic and having a stable job, all this stuff. And she was, you know, she was pretty high up there on the food chain.
Yeah.
As a social worker, she was, you know, like I used to tell her, you're the big cheese, top dog. She decided to step away from her position and open her own practice and give that a shot and see how that goes. And how freaking scary to do that, not only just at our age, but to do that right off the heels of a pandemic, of steady work. What could you like attribute that to?
It was a journey for sure. And I'm sure you remember, even like a couple years before the pandemic, I was starting to think about change. And I remember every now and again, I'd have conversations with you about that. And, you know, gosh, what else could I do? Not that I didn't love working at the hospital, but you know, when there's just something in you, you're just like, you know, there's something else that I'm meant to do. And I'm not quite sure what it was.
Right.
And I think the fear of unknowing definitely, you know, made that process a little slower. Because like you said, I was a team lead at the hospital. I had learned wonderful skills. I worked with amazing social workers. I learned so much working with a medical team. So all of that was wonderful. But then I started imagining, well, what if there's something else that's even just a little bit more wonderful for myself?
Wow.
And I had always known, and I think Matt remembers me telling him, I don't think I'm going to retire from the hospital. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I don't think I'm going to retire from there.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that I wanted something of my own.
Yeah.
And it was hard to imagine, especially like you said, I'm in my 50s.
And you've always been like the steady Eddie of you and
right.
I.
And
you know, you've always been like on this straight
reliable path
and reliable.
But if you think about it, all of us have been on that path, right?
Yeah.
As adults, we kind of reach this point in our lives and in our careers and we're thinking, oh, I've reached it. I'm done. But what's fascinating about adult development is that it's never really done. We're continually evolving.
Yeah.
And if we really recognize some of that, there's so much more to be done.
Right.
And I think that fear for a long time kind of, you know, was in my way.
Held you back a little.
A little bit. But the really fascinating thing about the pandemic, and I'm sure maybe you've talked to people about this, lots of people are making changes. The pandemic kind of revealed 100%. A lot of things for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was very scary. We were isolated. We, you know, and we're, you know, human beings. We're social beings. We need to be with other people.
Absolutely.
That's part of our nature. But it really kind of highlighted so many different things, not only in the healthcare, not only in society with all of those things, but it also kind of, in the medical setting, it was hard. I have to admit, I definitely was feeling some burnout. And I was just feeling it, and I reached a point and I just had to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that thing, you know, and I remember I took a leave, and I've never taken a leave.
Wow.
I took a leave of absence for about 3 weeks because I wasn't sleeping well. I was having this anxiety. I was just, whoa. And I just never had happened to me before.
Do you think it was because, do you think that some of it was because the pandemic was happening and you realize like your Elijah, her son, is getting older. You're not spending as much time with him as you would like.
That's so true. Thank you. That was a big part of it because I had to be at work at 8. So I left really early. And so I was out the door before, you know, Matt and Elijah left. And then by the time I got home with traffic, it was like dinner, homework, bed, bye.
I hear you.
Right? Yep. See you in the morning and then, you know, push, repeat.
Yeah,
and
Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog's Day. And I thought, okay, I am missing my son's development in this point. And that was a really big part of it.
Yeah.
That was. And I remember talking to you about that. And I was talking to Matt. And during that leave, he's like, you know, maybe now's the time. And I said, what do you mean? It's a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Who leaves a paying job during a pandemic when everyone else is getting laid off? I had a little bit of like, I had even more panic about it. And then he was like, we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we're going to be okay. And I think we made the decision and he's like, pick a date and you're going to give that date.
I love that.
And I went back to work and I gave my notice and definitely had some panic. It felt great. You feel elated at first. You're like, oh my gosh, I've made this big decision.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what did I just do?
Right? And you're like, I was like so happy. I'm like, Maggie, come meet me for lunch.
Yeah. Kind of how I felt after right? every time I found out I was pregnant. Oh, I'm really happy. And then, oh no, how am I going to even, right? I understand completely.
And I had always thought about my own practice and just bringing all the skills and knowledge that I have learned over these years and having my own space and my own timeline. And because at the hospital, it was limited. You know, you're in a clinic, you're seeing people for their appointments. So I'm providing mental health services, but, you know, there's also a dietitian who needs to get in there and the doctor needs to get in there and the nurse. And so I never really had control over my time. And when I want to sit with someone and really explore, if you and I were talking and you wanted to really open up about something that's been on your mind, oh yeah, I have only 10 minutes here, you know?
Right.
So I was like, no, I want to honor that space. If someone's really going to share that sacred space with me, then I owe it to them to have this.
Well, you're probably the only mental health professional that I think thinks like feels that way.
I love creating that space because it's something that is sacred. And if someone's going to trust me, I want to be able to do that. But I didn't have a sense of it. So what I've always admired about Daniela, like coming back to that, is that she was always the person who I admired the most about, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start my own business. And then she started Frankie B. I remember when she started Frankie B. And I was in the car and we were, you know, she had these jeans in a box and we were delivering them to stores. No, seriously. And I always had thought at different points, I just wish I had some of that. Right. And I wanted some of whatever she had. I wanted to bottle it and take it for myself.
I get it. I totally agree.
And she was just so excited for me, and Matt was. And so I just think there was some alignment and timing that definitely made sense. And it's been over almost a year now, which is really something, since I left the hospital. And
I think that there were a lot of things that kind of played into that decision, where you started to do these programs where you would go away and speak.
That's right.
And I think that kind of took you out of your box right then and there and started to make you feel a little bit more confident.
That's right.
In what you know. Mm. And just like your history of being able to teach and working with young kids. And also you worked in adoption for many years. That's There's right. so many different facets and so many things that you could do, like write children's books, write self-help books, speak, you know, develop your own practice. There's so many other ways to kind of pivot. And I think the tricky thing is figuring out what your most valuable thing is, that what you value the most in your career. Like what is it that is most valuable to you and what you want to kind of not give up.
Right.
You know, like for me, it was my freedom. Like I came to a point in my career where I realized that I am unhireable because I don't want to be tied to anybody's schedule of me. Yes. I don't want to be tied to a desk. I don't want to be tied to 9 to 5. For me, that does not work.
No.
That's just not who I am. Mm-hmm. I need a little bit more creative freedom. I need more freedom, period. So that was the most important thing to me. And I was willing to, you know, risk making as much money as I want to make for my freedom.
Right.
So
it's so interesting. It's true. It's a little bit of, there's a trade-off. But there's also trust involved.
Yeah.
Because you can still, I think in my mind and what I'm learning being in business for myself.
So what
and taking
exactly
a chance
is it that you have set up?
I've set up a private practice.
For all ages now? Are you still concentrating
primarily
on
adults,
children?
Okay. Primarily adults. I worked a long time with children. I do see some adolescents, but adults really are my focus.
Okay.
And actually, I am fascinated with the idea of change after 50, because that's what I did. And I thought, It's a remarkable space to be in, because at that point, most women, they're thinking, well, I'll stay home, I'll raise my family, I have a job. They have to work twice as hard at it, just being a woman to prove themselves in this world, right? And so,
with their hormones running amok.
Oh gosh, that could be a whole other. Can we do another story on that?
Because we were just talking about that before you got here.
Oh my God. So
we talk about that.
Not to totally sidetrack, but sidetrack somewhat. Did you see Paulina's post? Paulina Porizkova, you know, famous supermodel, was married to Rick O'Kay.
I have mixed feelings about her post. We've talked about this before, but lately I don't know. But okay, you tell me your take
okay,
on it.
The most recent post. I have mixed feelings about her post too. However, the most recent post really got me. So she posted she was on vacation and she's frolicking around in her bikini and she's 56 years old. And somebody wrote to her, "You don't need to be frolicking around in your bikini anymore. You are no longer a model. You are no longer a young woman. Shouldn't you just stay home now, wear decent clothes, cover yourself up and play with your grandchildren and dote on your family at this point?" And I was like, wow. Oh my God, these people, I mean, what society thinks of older women is so unreal. So she then posted today, which I was like,
I didn't see her post today,
clapping away. I was so happy. A completely nude photo of herself.
God bless her.
Right on.
Yes.
Look at that.
And said, I'll show it to you because it's just unreal how she looks. I mean, she looks unbelievable. And, you know, and she said, you know, screw you. What might be good for you and other people is fine. But why do I have to adhere to any type of rule for being, you know, in my 50s? Yeah. I can't pull it up because,
well,
of course, there's
But and who set that rule? Let's just kind of say, who set that rule to begin with for anybody, man or woman?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, we're a certain age and then that's it? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
No.
And she's like, you know, at 56, if I feel good about myself, why can't I?
God bless her. That's right.
Walk around in a bikini or post naked pictures of myself. And she's like, I don't do it for the comments and the compliments, although they're fantastic. I don't do it for that. I do it because I'm trying to normalize how people see 56-year-old women or how they see women over 50. That women over 50 don't have to cover themselves up now and turn into grannies and knit and play with their grandchildren. They can still walk around in bikinis if they feel like it and they are happy with themselves. They can pivot their career.
Right.
It's possible. They can make changes. Mm-hmm. And you can start over.
You can. I'm living proof that it happens. You know, and listen, not that there's not planning involved. There is. But what I find fascinating is anyone who's willing to do that. I'm kind of proud of myself for doing it. I'm still scared. I still have moments of, gosh, is this really going to work out? Because I've never had my own business. But hey, I have a best friend who has many, you know, and so I seek out those resources. I look to people who can help me learn those things. It's possible. If I just box myself into, I have to just follow what this organization says and these rules, then I've already limited myself.
Right.
Right.
But that's just it. We limit ourselves.
We limit ourselves. And men
too. And who put us in
this? This is not just for women.
Too.
Men too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can feel so trapped by your responsibilities and your, you know, everything that you think you're supposed to be doing at this point in your life. I think it's as good a time as any to take chances and try different things because, you know, you've raised your kids, you've been responsible, you know, now is the time to kind of explore maybe.
And the thing is, I'm still being responsible. Like, right. I think there's a misinterpretation of it. There's a misunderstanding that for some reason, if you work for yourself, that somehow you're like footloose and fancy free and not really following any guidelines or rules, if you will. There are rules to business. Yeah. There are things that I had to do. There's paperwork that I had to file. Yeah. There's insurance that I had to take.
Right.
Okay. So those are the steps for a private practice, for a mental health provider. That's what I needed to do. And that's what I did. So that's what I learned.
Yeah.
But it's perfectly doable and reasonable. And it wasn't as hard as I imagined it to be because in my mind, I couldn't possibly. It's like, well, and I'm very fortunate. I have some wonderful colleagues who have been in private practice who are also, you know, we work together. We help each other.
They
we mentor each other.
Yeah.
We network. Yes. And so all of those skills over the past 21 years are all applicable of what I'm doing now. I just get to have more time with people and honor that space. So I love to bring people into that space. And that's what I did. I recently, you know, have a website up. And so that's exciting. And
Matt, tell people what you, what kind of mental health or what kind of do you specialize in? Like, if any of our listeners feel like they need someone to speak to like you.
Well, I love I love to help people who are in transition. You know, the one thing that was really interesting working in the hospital setting with children is, one, how resilient they are and how they will pivot, right? They will pivot. They will figure things out. I loved helping, especially the older teenagers and young adults who are getting ready for college. What does my life look like? But it's having the space to even imagine that it's possible. And right. And so I love when I talk with adults, either young adults, any age really, but adults and older adults too, right? Like where we are in our lives, who are contemplating change. And what does that look like? I love to hold that space and say, if you were to imagine that, what would that look like? If I had a magic wand and I could do that, what would that look like? Now, I can't promise that's going to happen tomorrow, but maybe just entertain the idea and let's talk about what that is. I'm really about practical tools. I'm about processing. Each person, we all have our own narratives, right? Yeah. So that plays a big part in our behavior patterns. So I talk to people about that and we explore, what does that mean? And if you're looking for a change, what do you think you have to change to get there? Right. You know, we're our own experts. The answers are there. We just have to, I'm trying to elicit that awareness, right? And so another thing that I've been doing, which I never thought I would be a student again, is I'm a student again. Yeah. And I'm working on a coaching certification.
Oh, I love that.
Through Fielding Graduate University. It's a great evidence-based program. And they...
Like a personal coach?
Yeah. Personal coach, life coach.
I'm also... She went back to school on top of opening her own practice.
On top of it all, I thought, oh my gosh.
I love that. I would literally be an eternal student if I could, if I had the time.
Yeah, you would. Because you like to learn about everything.
I love learning,
that's
too.
That's my problem, too, is I'm a jack of all trades and I don't complete things. So I really admire that about you, because it's very hard. I have so many varied interests and so many things that I'm actually good at. And I've never been able to find that one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so commendable to me.
What do you mean, Zach Wilde?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm good at him. I do him well. other than that, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's so commendable to... Part of the whole key to life, I think, mm-hmm. is to finding what that is for you.
That's
and
right.
And if you could be a life coach and helping someone to figure that out, that's brilliant. I mean, that's magic.
I love, you know, I mean, because coaching historically was really, you know, born out of, you know, the behavioral theories of psychology. So what is great for me, and I feel very fortunate, is that I have a lot of those foundational skills. And so now with therapy is a little bit of a difference, right? So therapy may kind of go a little bit back further in history. If someone's really like grieving or going through a traumatic time, that's probably not the best time for coaching per se.
Right.
But when you're in a space to be able to reflect on those things and then pivot to make change, that's when that could be really useful. But I wanted to just expand my skills. Coaching was a wonderful opportunity. It's a year-long program, so I'm still in it. I'm in the middle of it.
That's great.
And I just finished my final paper, which I hate writing, I gotta say. It's like it's not my jam, even though I end up doing it okay. But, you know, I finally turned in my final paper.
Yay. But, you know, I think that that's also like, I think that's like a big part of it is finding your passion. Like, what are you passionate about? What drives you? What do you love to do? What have you always wanted to do that you haven't done? You know, so I think that that's all part of it.
Yeah.
This is all part of it. This is part of me reimagining myself. And if you could reimagine yourself.
Oh my God, farted. I'm sorry, guys.
Is he in your way? Because I don't smell over here.
No,
so,
it's
okay.
Coming. It's coming my way. So lucky me.
Gift for you.
Yeah. That was a great little segue. Reimagine yourself. Sorry, he farted. The dog farted. Okay.
That's
back to reimagining ourselves in this beautiful, glorious new way. I think that's what I am hoping to do. Really just have people, you know, find me and I find them and we discover that together.
Right.
I want to help people on their journeys.
That's awesome.
That's it.
So how do people find you if they want to talk to you or come see you?
I do have a website. It's Maggie Sepkowitz, lcsw.com. It's a bit of a mouthful, but that's it. That's me.
Yeah, so Sepkowitz.
We will put it in the
Maggie, yeah, MaggieSepikowitz, right?
LCSW.com. That's there, right. I was like, is she going to remember how to spell my name?
I mean,
all right. It's a mouthful. Well, because you start putting in other names, but you really, when it comes to like more of a professional setting, it really should just be your name and your license.
Absolutely.
So it is very simple. A lot of therapists do that. So I don't want to like trick anyone into like looking for some nickname or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So they can find you on your website.
They
and
can.
Then do you have Instagram?
I do. No. Well, it's under.
Better to go on your website.
Better to go on the website.
Okay.
I am on LinkedIn. So.
Oh, great.
But there is a little kind of link.
Yeah.
Link to LinkedIn on the website, which is right at the top.
Mag, have you seen the new documentary on CNN on Diana?
No, but I've been wanting to.
It reminds me so much of when we were kids. And we were going to school and they got married. Remember when Princess Di and Charles got married?
Yes.
They stopped school and we all got
That's
to watch
right.
it.
I remember. It was sixth grade. That's right.
Remember that?
I was in that house.
We were in Pacoima. That's when we were being
bused
to Pacoima.
Right, but that was still sixth grade.
Yeah.
That was still sixth grade. And I was still in the Wilbur house. We lived maybe two blocks from each other.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
In the valley.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we used to ride our bicycles, meet
each other halfway, ride our bicycles, and then go to her house or my house.
That's right. My house had the pool, and then we had a slide at the time.
Yeah.
I don't think slides are legal anymore, but we had a slide, and we used to just go down it.
Oh, my God. Maggie used to be so mean. So
I don't know about that, but let's hear it.
we'd go to her house. I'd go to her house to go swimming, and her slide was so high that you could see the traffic next door to her.
Wow.
Like the cars coming by the street. You could
it
see
really
them.
Was that
I'd have been all about that.
So her and I would go up the slide together and she'd go down first, but not before she would scream out something like, this girl doesn't like people in black cars, and go down the slide, and I'd be sitting there. You know,
it was funny.
So funny.
Yeah. It was really funny.
Those were fun times.
Back in those days, Maggie and I, it was funny because we were like best friends, and we would dress alike and just like
that.
You know, it was just hilarious. Never did I think in all these years that we would be sitting here like, God, what has it been like 30, 40 years?
40? Over 40 years. That's right, because we met at 10.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into too much of the detail after that.
Yeah,
but you know, it's over 40. Don't worry, it's over 40.
40 years.
We're like fine wines. We just get better with age.
You know, I wish everybody thought that. I mean, I think that you get better with age, because in a lot of respects you do.
Yeah.
Well, don't you often think like, if I could just tell my 20-year-old self what I know now, right? Everyone goes through those stages of like,
I actually try and do that with my daughter. I have a daughter that's 29 years old, and she'll say things to me sometimes like, she's absolutely brilliant. I mean, she's like crazy smart, and she really should have been. She went and graduated Berkeley for writing. Mm-hmm. She's a brilliant writer. She's brilliant orator. She's just really smart girl. And she said, you know, Mom, I should have gotten my law degree and went to school for being a civil rights attorney. And I go, and why can't you now? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, it's a little too late. I'm like, never too late.
Never, yeah.
It's like, I live vicariously through her. So I'm like, you need to do those things for yourself. If that's something that you want to do, go for it.
That's right.
Yeah. Nothing is ever too late, I think, except for investing in cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
Thank you. Because I really don't get it.
Oh, well,
sorry. I am just going to put it out there. I do not understand that.
The whole Bitcoin.
You need to ask Jesse about it.
Okay.
Jesse's like in that space, and
yes?
Jesse's rocking and rolling.
Okay.
Yeah,
we need to learn
so
about that.
Some are like, Frankie was telling me she was listening to a podcast about it, and that you've got to get on it because it's going to be the new currency of the future and all this stuff. And then now they renamed the Staples Center.
Yes. They're going to rename the Staples. Like
Crypto.com. Yeah.
It's really, yes.
It's crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They paid $700 million to rename the Staples Center.
Isn't that
crazy? But yeah, so, you know, times are wild, and it's wild seeing all this stuff go down and all these changes, and you and I still have remained close.
We always remain close.
Yeah.
Always, yeah.
Yeah.
I still have all our pen pal letters from when you moved back to South Africa for a little bit during middle. And during the, like, towards the middle end of middle school into the beginning of high school when she moved. And but I have letters and all the letters that we kept from each other. And,
yeah.
And when you came back to L.A. and
Maggie has all the stuff. She has like the whole.
I'm the holder of memories.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm married to someone like that.
Yeah, you are.
I've got 3-4 storage units, a personal storage units, let alone the band ones that he can't let go of anything. He's got everything. Even really? In his gym, he has one of Haley Ray's sandals that she insisted on putting on herself.
Sandal.
One. She was like 1 year old, and we had to wait like 2 hours to get out the door because he said she wants to do it herself, and so that's in his gym, and I think it's a little reminder to him, like, you can do whatever you want to do by yourself.
Oh, that's
you know,
so
I have,
sweet.
I have Frankie's little moccasin shoe that she used to wear when she was an infant.
Oh,
it fell off in the rain one day, and I took it and I put it on the shift on my car, and every time I get a new car, I take it off, put it on the new car. So that's, I've had that too.
It's really sweet.
Yeah, I do. So I understand. I understand, Mr. Wilde. I understand. I get it.
1-800 Got Junk has been to my house quite a few times.
There
last
are just
two
those keepsakes that you can't.
Yeah.
No, that's
can't
true.
Let go of.
Yep.
I have that too. We all have those boxes.
But Mag, so Barb and I talk about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, because like you look exactly the same to me as you did when we were kids.
You're very sweet.
No, but you do.
I really don't.
You do.
Beautiful skin.
Yeah, she looks the same. She's always looked like that. Maggie's always looked the same. Do you have any like beauty secrets that you want to share with our listeners?
Oh, beauty secrets.
Is there
anything? I always felt like you were the one I got the secrets from. Because I'm always like, what new product are you using? Well, I guess first of all, I would have to thank my mom. So thank you for that compliment, because my mom also has beautiful
genetics.
Skin.
Yeah,
there is
yeah.
some part of that.
Yeah,
I try to say that. I mean, sleeping. I try to get enough rest.
Yeah,
but it's hard. You know,
it is. It's hard.
It's hard to really get true sound sleep, especially when we're kind of like going through these changes hormonally too. So I've been battling with that a little bit. But
yeah, yeah, that's tough. Is there you know, we touched on this. What would you say to your younger self? If you could
take more chances.
Yeah.
Take more chances, because I had thought about it at many different points in my career, from being honest with myself, and just that fear of like security,
mm-hmm.
like that security. And it's real. And don't get me wrong. We all need to make a living and bills need to be paid. And I understand that. But to take a chance on yourself feels so remarkable. And you know, like I'm holding this thing right now. I don't know if you've noticed. So I have this rock.
I noticed. I was wondering what that was.
Okay,
I'm
so
like,
this rock, someone gave me this rock when I started my graduate
I didn't
program.
I noticed that, and I love that.
I've had this rock with me for over 20 years.
Awesome.
And it says believe. And someone gave this to me when I started my graduate program.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad because I don't remember who gave it to me. But it
gave you the most important rock of your life.
The most important rock. So whoever did, I thank you, because I still have it. And if
it was me,
and it was you.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I do love you. But anyway, I have held on to this, and I use it a lot with grounding activities with clients too, because sometimes we just need somewhere to transfer this energy. And so even funny enough, I'm so excited to be here. You know, I get a little nervous and, you know, being on your show, but I'm excited, but it brings up nerves. So this is like my grounding tool.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I have it with me for certain things. I took it in with my licensing exam when I first took it. I asked the guy, because they say you can't bring anything into a testing center, that whole thing. I said, can
How
I bring this in?
Can I bring
no,
rock?
That's what he said. So funny. He's like, you want to bring a rock? I said, I want to bring this rock. And if you can look at it and know that there's nothing written on it, there's no answers here.
He
I just need it.
On it.
There's no notes. And he let me have it. And he let me just hold it. And it was remarkable.
That's so funny.
And so
yeah,
I have other rocks
that.
At home too.
Uh-huh.
I do. I've done projects with, you know, kids around it, like where you write words on it, whatever speaks to you. So I have another rock at home that says risk on one side and trust on the other, because you can't take a risk without trusting. And so I just love those little nuggets of knowledge to give people, because they go a long way.
Absolutely.
And it's a reminder to me all the time. It's okay. If I'm sitting at a, you know, when I went through graduate school, I'd be sitting at staring at a blank screen when I had to do like those 25-page research papers that I was just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
But sure enough.
Maggie's always been that kind of person, though. She's always like, I remember when we were in school, I'd be like, did you understand anything in that class? Because I didn't understand. I'm going to fail that test. I didn't understand anything. And she'd be like, oh, Danielle, I didn't understand anything either. I'm totally going to fail. I didn't get a damn word that person said. And then she'd get her test and it would be straight
100%.
A's. Yeah. And I'd That's be like, Hendrix, you lied.
My Hendrix always does that too. He always get, I'm going to fail. And then I'm like, oh, really? How'd you do? I got a 96. I got a 98. I'm like, yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's so interesting, right? Because it brings up an interesting thought is that no matter how many times I may have proved myself wrong, there's still that doubt that creeps in, isn't there?
Yeah.
Every now and again, you get this doubt that just creeps in and it's like it takes hold.
Yeah.
And then that's when I'm just more like, no, not going to do it. Like when I first left and made that big change, I was really scared. I was really, you know, grieving that loss too of so many wonderful colleagues. And I remember laying in bed, putting my hand like on my heart here and saying, I'm going to be okay. And we're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. My family's going to be okay. And I say that to this day.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay. And we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And you have to start changing those thought patterns because
those voices,
they are so strong.
I know.
And they do serve a purpose at times. Don't get me wrong. They do. But if you're imagining a change or even just want to explore something that has just been, you've been carrying around with you.
Right.
I love to open up that space to talk to people about it because that's very powerful. Because if it even brings you one step closer to something that you might be doing just a little differently, that might be healthier, that might be more positive, that might be more inspirational, that's never going to be a bad thing.
No.
It doesn't have to be some major changes too, even within your work. Do you want to set some boundaries? Do you want to try and figure out some work-life balance? What does that look like?
Right.
I'm not saying everyone has to pick up and, you know, go on some pilgrimage, but, you know, but that's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's a funny thing is what I was going to say is I always seemed like I was the wilder one, but Maggie was the one that ended up jumping out of planes, going on these pilgrimages.
I have done skydiving. Yes. I remember
really
that was for like my 31st or 32nd birthday. It was one of my bucket list things to do. And before I became a parent.
Right.
Yeah. So, because right now I feel like, boy, I sure would like to, but I got a 12-year-old. I don't know.
No, hey, that is a weird. Right, that is a weird thing too.
Yeah,
right?
there are many things that I would do if I didn't have to worry about my children.
Right.
You know, like and how that would look to them. But I'm pretty fearless.
I love that. I want more fearless in my life.
I'm pretty fearless.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fearful of rodents, but other than that, I'm good.
I just
snakes for me are a little tricky.
When I was younger, I had no fear either. I was fearless. But then when I had Frankie, once I gave birth, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I got to be more careful.
Wow.
And so then I became afraid of flying. I was afraid that if I flew and something happened, then who's going to raise Frankie the way I wanted her to be raised?
Wow.
And so I made a deal with myself at a certain point because I would white knuckle these flights and you know, going on tour and stuff. I was white knuckling
about
it.
You.
Yeah. Really afraid of flying. And every time I'd get on a plane, I would go through this whole ritual and it was just horrible. And one day I kind of came to terms with it where I told myself, you know what? When she turns 18, you have to stop being so afraid of stuff because then she can take care of herself, sort of. But but at least you got her that far and then you don't have to be so afraid of everything. Because I was always afraid. I never felt my mortality as much as I did when I was raising her.
Wow.
Because I was afraid.
I think that's very common, though. I think that's common with parents because now someone else completely depends on you.
Yeah.
Right? You are responsible for this life.
Yeah.
And you have chosen that awesome responsibility. Yeah. But I think it's true. I used to have fears like that, too.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what would you do? And do you fly separately? Yeah, I've had that. Fears, too.
Gilby and I used to fly separately all the time. I'd be like,
I know a lot of people who do.
Yeah, the lawyer who told us to do that. I never even thought of it. And the lawyer's like, well, you know, maybe you guys should consider flying separately. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
Well, then I was like, okay. You know, we did sometimes. It's funny because I don't know if it's being an eternal optimist or if it's just, maybe it's just because my Neptune conjuncts my sun and I float a little bit above reality. But
that's what I like about you, Barb.
We love that about you.
I don't really think that way sometimes, but I guess afterwards, sometimes I'll be like, oh, wow, that could have been, you know, but, yeah, no, it's not really ever stopped me from.
Yeah, we had some almost famous moments on the plane.
People wouldn't think that about Zach because he's known as this like wild, insane human, but he is so much more conservative than me. In every way. He really
looks can be deceiving, huh?
It is something, right? It really can be.
His
it's
persona,
so true.
Yeah. I mean, look at Frankie's persona on stage in her real life persona. It's completely different.
That's so true. That's a great point.
Yeah, it's very true.
That is true.
So, Mag, if people want to reach out to you, you do in-person therapy sessions or counseling, right? Or
and virtual.
And you do virtual too.
Yeah, I'll do virtual. Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's kind of like this new avenue that people are seeking out. It works, you know, I prefer to do Zoom with like more adult clients and I'd love to see, but I'm open to both, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And do people, if they want to come see you, do you accept insurance or do they?
I'm not paneled with insurances. So I'm a fee for service. Okay. So, but what I can provide is I provide invoices, what's called a super bill. Yeah. And you can then, submit it to insurance companies.
Yeah. And get
for reimbursement.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work out, you know. Yeah. But certain ones do.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maddie.
Oh,
Maddie.
Thank you so much. Oh, yes. I hope I can come hang out again. I would love to. Anytime.
And now that you know what it's like, you can come hang out all the time. You bring your rock.
I would love to. And my rock's coming with me. I love it. Thank you so much, guys. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, it's been
great. I'm glad you came to hang out with us.
Very inspiring.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very inspiring. Maggie's always inspiring. Okay, well, I guess that does it for this episode of Honest AF. And if you have any subjects that you would like us to tackle or products that you'd like us to review, please hit us up on our socials. Honest AF Show is our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. HonestAFShow.com is our website. And until next time, have a good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
We obviously need to do a disclaimer here, so we want you to know we are not doctors or experts by any stretch of the imagination. We are just a couple of gals that are looking for magical products, procedures, and experiences. And in our quest, we will share our honest as fuck opinions with you. So please make sure before you try anything we talk about that you know your own restrictions and do so at your own risk. Not blame us for any of your issues. We're just experimenting too.
Did you guys hear about that couple that went on vacation and one spouse murdered the other? In fact, the entire vacation was planned. Just so that they could make the murder look like an accident.
Ah, so like a slaycation. Oh boy, sounds like a fun new true crime podcast to me.
On every episode of Slaycation, we'll examine true cases of people who were killed while on vacation.
Was it murder? Or just a horrible accident? That's up to you and the law to decide. But either way, if you leave for your vacation in the plane, and come home under the plane, you've definitely gone on a slaycation.
Join us every week for a fascinating new episode.
911, what's your emergency?
But make sure to pack your body bags, because getting away can be murder.
This is Slaycation.